Good day, family. It's wonderful being here with you today as we continue to embark on the journey of Matthew and as we see the gospel through his eyes. I'm Herman van Dyk. Wonderful to be with you here. I've been part of the Stellenbosch congregation for the past 15 years. What a privilege to be part of this family and the season that we are in. Before we get going on chapter 27 that we can look at today, just a kind reminder that we will continue with the book of Acts in July as we close off Matthew very soon. Before we get going with chapter 27, let's quickly pray. Thank you, Father God, that we can spend time in your word today, that your word is alive, that your word is palpable around us, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that it's inspired by you and that your word will triumph today as you reveal it to us, and your will be done in your kingdom come, in Jesus' name. Before we start looking at 27, let's quickly just recap what happened in 26. Judas betrayed Jesus, and Peter denied Jesus, and Jesus got before the high priest, and they referred him to Pilate, and that's where we're going to start off. If we look at chapter 27, just a couple of highlights. Jesus appears before Pilate, and just after that, Judas actually goes and commits suicide, goes back to the high priest and says, "I don't want the money anymore." He was showing remorse. Unfortunately, it was too late. Jesus appears before Pilate, just before he finally convicts him, and gives the people an option. Do you want to have Barabbas released from prison, which is a tradition that time of year on Passover, or let Jesus go? They were adamant. They wanted Barabbas to be released because they wanted Jesus to be convicted. And that's so typical as we see in today's world, where you've got the choice between God or you select the world. And Pilate had this opportunity to make that choice, but he was passive in it. We'll touch on it later again. And Jesus was mocked by the people as he was convicted, and then he went on to being crucified. And that's obviously the fulfilling of the prophets or the prophecies from the Old Testament. Jesus gets buried within a tomb, and Pilate actually instructs as a request from the public to put soldiers in front of it, because he said he will raise up in 3 days, and they wanted to avoid that there is no mockery of that. So as we continue to go through this, I want to highlight a portion that I want to read before you, which is verse 11 to 14. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, governor being Pilate now, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they have testified against you?" But he gave no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. So Jesus appears before Pilate now, and you ask him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Because that's what he's been accused of. It's the only accusation that they really have against him. He did nothing wrong. As we know, he was innocent. He was pure. If you look back at Matthew from the start, there's so many parables where Jesus comes into discussions with the Pharisees and the high priests, even his disciples. We use all these high parables where a lot of them don't understand him. Some he clarifies to them and explains to them what it means. Some he doesn't explain, but he explains to his disciples because they didn't understand it either. Now he comes before Pilate. Just before that, the high priest, he still said, "I'm the king of the Jews. I've been sent by God. This is my redemptive purpose." And he comes before Pilate, and Pilate asks him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he goes on, he said, "You have said so." He had this opportunity again to defend himself, to justify himself, who he really is. All he said, "You have said so." Now, this really stood out to me, as this is what I want to discuss now. This is just Jesus' identity that comes through. And the identity didn't start here. I think it already started in, if we look at Matthew 3, where John baptized Jesus, and the dove come as the Spirit from heaven and said to him, "It's my son who I'm well pleased with." and he just affirms him as his son, and for the purpose that he's come. And Jesus comes to this realization, as we see in chapter 26 as well. He goes to pray in Gethsemane. For three times he goes and asks the Lord, may this cup pass me. For three times. And he just comes to this realization that the time is here. I need to fulfill my purpose why I've been sent to earth. And he says to Pilate, you have said so. I have nothing more. This is my identity. This is why I've come to earth. I need to fulfill this. And it makes me think, what's our identity? Well, where do we place our identity in? Is it in finances? Is it in titles? Is it in job security? In your family? In church even? There's so many things that we place our identity in. And then I start thinking in a practical way, when you have to drive around and you don't have your license card or your ID with you, and the traffic cops pull you over, suddenly you will start rushing your thoughts and thinking, how do I defend myself to prove that I am who I am, if you don't have any proof of your identity or your license card? But when you go into a roadblock, you've got your ID with you, it's that ease, this is who I am, don't have to defend myself. And Jesus comes to that place because he's got that identity firm in God, because he affirmed him. And I want to tell a story out of my own life, a true story. We had to borrow my father's bucket to go and collect something. And as we leave our estate, and just before we head onto the N1, we get pulled over. And just before that, I realized I didn't take my own license card. I'm stuck. And I suddenly start worrying what I'm going to do. And my wife sitting next to me, calm as ever, said to me, sees my dad's license card lying there. She says, don't worry, just show him your dad's. I'm like, how's that gonna help? He's so much older, it's quite obvious. How do you explain that to him? And no other option. I said, Lord, this is over to you. And as he comes on, I pull out the card and said, look, I don't have mine. This is the reason why not. I borrowed the bucket, but here's my dad's. And he looks at it, he's like, okay, I'll let you go today. And just a wonderful example that the Lord reminded me of when I was preparing, as we can just be firm in his identity. And how I physically experienced it in my dad's identity that day didn't make sense at all, but God's grace was enough. And yeah, that's a question I want to leave you with today. Where do you place your identity? And do you have it in God? Does he affirm you? And you know what Jesus did for you on the cross when he was crucified? You have the opportunity to accept him today if you haven't accepted him in the past. And I leave you this with this last thought as we go into prayer. Thank you, Father God, our Father, that you affirm us, Lord. You are our identity, that we can know that you are with us, Lord. That we don't have to be hesitant, Lord. We are identity is it. And thank you, Lord, that you've affirmed Jesus as well, what he's come to do for us on earth and as he was crucified. We honor you, we bless you, Lord. We surrender our lives to you. Amen. Thank you, and have a blessed day.